for all of the work that is involved in organizing this wonderful presentation. As the Rambam tells us, the Mishnah Berurah brings the halacha, that the union of a kindness is not simply to sit and fast or even sleep away the day, but rather to be misplanning, to contemplate as to why we are fasting, why there is a korban, and what, as Dr. Mandel said, what we can do in our own lives. I'd like to start off with a short observation. And that is, we know that, of course, the 3 weeks initiates a period of avelus, a period of mourning, which is modeled to some degree on the avelus that a person has when, Rachmana Litzlan, they lose a relative. And yet the halachas of the mourning for the Beis Hamikdash follow the opposite pattern of the halachas of the mourning for a private individual. For a private individual, the avelus begins at a very, very high and strict level, and then it progressively diminishes as time goes on. We have the Gimel Yamim of Shiva, then the rest of Shiva, then Shleishim, then for father and mother, Yud Beis Chodesh, till eventually the Avel rejoins society. You go, in other words, Menachomer El Akal, you go from a strict law of Avelus, which progressively gets easier as life goes on. By contrast, with the Avelus over the Churban Beis Hamikdash that Chazal enacted and various Minhagim have added to over the years, we progressively get more and more into it. We have the 3 weeks, which Medina de Gemara almost has no halachas at all. Then you have Rosh Chodeshav in the 9 days, Shavua Shechalbo Tishabav, Erev Tishabav, the Zman of the Suda Hamafsekes, in fact, Meikar Hadin, although our custom is we don't eat meat or drink wine from Rosh Chodeshav, it's the Suda Hamafsekes that is Aser V'Basar V'Yayin. So the Avelus for the Churban does not go min ha-chomor el ha-kal, it goes min ha-kal el ha-chomor. And one of the explanations that is offered for this is that although both are basically observances of Avelus, they are designed to do two different things. When a person suffers a private tragedy, whether it be a spouse or a parent or Rechman Othlan, a child or even a sibling, a person's life is often shattered. They feel they're unable to go on. The agony and the tsar is so great that, as it were, they withdraw from the world. And the purpose of Avelus, at least from a psychological standpoint, is to give the person the wherewithal and the kaychas to be able to rejoin society gradually so they could eventually become productive members of Klal Yisrael once again. And thus, for Shiva, we go and we visit them and we give them strength and we sit with them and we don't talk to them unless they want to talk. We wait until what they have to say, just to show that we're there. And just like a person puts their toe in the water, and then eventually the knee, and eventually the leg, and eventually the whole body, the tachlis of Avelus, at least from a psychological standpoint, is to enable the Avel to rejoin society because their life has been shattered by the tragedy of their personal experience. Rabbi Nisenu Harabim, when it comes to the Churban Beis Hamikdash, we have the opposite problem. Very few of us, perhaps I should only speak for myself, but in my observation, it is fairly rare that people feel their lives are shattered because of the gullus of the Shechina, because of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. We don't need a Hilchos Avelus that will enable us to rejoin normal life because our lives are so shattered that we cannot go on. It's exactly the opposite. For most of the year, for most of the time, we go without even knowing what we're missing. The Gemara says, Avoseinu Amrin Ashinu Taiva. The Pasuk in Eicha says that our forefathers said, we have forgotten what Taiv was. But as Rebbe said in the Gemara Nedarim, Anu Bi'einenu Lo Ra'inu, we haven't even seen it. How do you describe colors to a blind person? How do you describe sounds or music to a person who was born deaf and never able to hear it? So the emes is, Ar Chisaron is not that we are so shattered over the tsar of the Churban that we need, as it were, to be able to be habituated to rejoin society. Rather, the 3 weeks is an opposite process. We gradually try to understand through Hisbonunus what it is that Hashem has taken away from us, or what it is, rather, that we have destroyed. And we gradually get into it and into it and into it till we could be margish, as it were, what is the tsar. And that is why the Avelus does not go minachomer el akal, but it goes minachal el achomer. The emesis that the darkest part of Gullus, the most difficult part of Galus is not even to know what it means to be in Galus. Because when you know that you're in Galus, when you know that there's a richuk, when you know there is a distance, when you know there is a mechitza, only then can a person make that first step. Just like if you're going on the wrong road. Until you know you're lost, then you're really lost. When you don't even know you're lost. When you know you're lost, l'chala pachas, you can take the first step towards coming back. And that is why, again, I wasn't able to hear the preceding speakers, I'm sure they made the point, that is why even Gullus has a positive side. Because Gullus gives us the opportunity, as it were, to recognize how far we are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by recognizing how far we are, it awakens within our hearts a passion and a fire to become close. It is the chance, as it were, just as the Rambam Paskins, like Rav Avoh, that says, "B'makom shebalei tshuva omdim." Tzadikim gemurim einim chalom lamod, that a Baal Tshuva is even a higher level than a Tzadik, because a Baal Tshuva knows what it's like to be far from Hashem. And there's a fire in their heart that they want to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a passion and a geshmak and a hislavos that the Tzadik Gomer may not have. The emes is, when a Jew is margish, what Golus is, every Jew now becomes the Baal Tshuva, as it were. The fire in our heart. That is what Golus gives us. Golus gives us that gift of emuna, that opportunity to feel the distance. And ironically, by feeling the distance, we become much, much closer to our Kaddish Baruch Hu than we were before. The emes is that particularly in the affluent Golus, you know, when Jews lived in Auschwitz, when they were in concentration camps, when there were pogroms, when there were the massacres and the crusades throughout Jewish history, a Jew knew what the pain of Golus meant. See, peace over Yeshua, did you eagerly await Mashiach, was indeed a reality, because life was so hopeless and so dark. The emes is the particular nisayon of living in what we call a malchus shel chesed, a benevolent government, particularly in New York. I come a little bit from out of town, so we don't have all of the amenities. But here in New York, Baruch Hashem, you have so many yeshivas, so many shuls, kosher restaurants even, tours, dances, all sorts of things with glatt kosher hashgachas. So what is a person missing? What is a person missing? In a golden a Medina and a golden a Golus, to be margish that something is missing is a very, very difficult avoda, and we don't even have a sense of what it is that's exactly missing. Rav Schwab Zatzal used to give a mashal, a famous mashal that's been reported in a lot of places. Imagine somebody's making a big chasna in one of the big halls that we have here, hires the best bands and the most expensive flowers flown in from Holland and Eretz Yisrael, the best caterer, a beautiful, beautiful place, hundreds and hundreds of guests. Everyone shows up, they're dressed beautifully. And after a while, chuppah was called for 6:30, so until 8 o'clock nobody raises any questions, but around 8 p.m. already people start wondering what's going on. And then they discover that the chassan didn't show up, or the kallah didn't show up. They decided to change their minds. Now, Aliba the Emes, just to give you the chilk between a Jew and a guy, I actually read in the paper the other day that this was a Maisa Shahaya by a non-Jewish family where indeed the kala didn't show up, the bride didn't show up. They went ahead and they made the boat wedding anyway, and they said, we might as well enjoy ourselves. But you could imagine that a Jewish simcha, Yiddish Chasna, you're not simply eating and drinking, but it's a celebration of the Kedusha of the Chibur of Ish V'Yishtay coming together. So you can have all of the externals, but the chasan isn't there, the kala isn't there. It's an empty shell. Rav Schwab said that a world without the Shechina, a world without HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashre Shechina when there's a Beis HaMikdash, is like a chasna without the chasan even being there. Because in Shir HaShirim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to the chasan, Klal Yisrael is compared to the kala. It's an empty world, it's a fake world. It's a world in which we can't even imagine what that world would be like. In fact, somebody asked the Sfas Emes, what does a person do if they cannot mourn the Churban Beis HaMikdash? How do you feel it? And the Sfas Emes said, if you cannot mourn the Churban Beis HaMikdash, one should mourn the Churban of their neshama that cannot even be margish what it means not to have a Beis HaMikdash. what the world would be like, a world of kindness, a world of compassion, a world of love, a world of hiskalos. These are inyanim that we can't even talk about because they're so foreign to our experience. And yet, see peace li Yeshua, do we really want, right? The Gemara says we're going to be asked, not do we believe in Mashiach, every religious Jew believes in Mashiach, but see peace li Yeshua. Did you wait for it? Did you eagerly want it? Did you hope for it all the time? You know, they tell a story, it's probably apocryphal, but I think there's an uncomfortable kernel of truth about a fellow who was a workaholic, and finally, after a number of years, he was going to take his first two-week vacation. And he reserved the plane tickets to Miami. He was going to enjoy 2 weeks in Miami during the winter. And lo and behold, the day before he left, Mashiach arrives. And everyone has to go to Yerushalayim. So he was very annoyed. He said, you know, for 2,000 years, Mashiach kept us waiting. Couldn't wait another 2 weeks till I got in my vacation. See, peace to Yeshua. Again, a little bit of a joke, but perhaps it does express an uncomfortable truth about how we would relate in terms of the ultimate geula. The pasuk says in Eicha, "Kol reitfeha hisiguha bein hamitzarim." It says all of those who pursued Yerushalayim reached her or captured her when she was between narrow straits, no place to escape. We also know in Chazal, however, that bein hamitzarim is the period between Shiva, Sarba Tamuz, and Tisha B'Av. And in the Sifrei Chassidus it says, "Kol reitfeha is reitfei ka." Those who pursue God can pursue God and reach God, bein hamitzarim, bedafka in this period of bein hamitzarim. Kol reitfei ka hisigua bein hamitzarim. What I want to talk about a little bit, and again, much of this is undoubtedly familiar to you, is number one, kind of the general avoda that we should be thinking about during the 3 weeks, and then focus on some very specific averis that Chazal identify that we need to rectify before bringing the geula. First, Rav Tzadik and the Pre-Tzadik points out a very, very interesting ha'ara. He points out that Shiva Sarba Tamuz is always the same day of the week as the first day of Pesach. And in fact, he points out there is a shaychus between Shiva Sarba Tamuz and the first day of Pesach. Why? Because the tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Matan Torah. And if you think about it, although the Aseres Adibros was given on Shavuos, Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchos Rishonos on Shiva Sarba Tamuz. Shiva Sarba Tamuz, had it not become the Chet HaEgel day, would have been the day in which the Luchos would be given to Klal Yisrael. So Shiva Sarba Tamuz, Rav Tzadik says, is a bechina of Matan Torah that went astray, that did not turn into what it should have turned into. And he says that we have, by Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have four Lashonas of Geula, the four Kaisas, Vautseisi, I'll take you out, Vitzalti, I'll save you, Vigaalti, I'll redeem you, Vilakachti. Rav Tzadik says, each of the 3 weeks is connected one of the Lashonas of Geula, and Tisha B'Av is keneged v'lakachti eschem liliam, where God takes us unto him as a nation. And Rav Tzadik points out that if we look indeed at why the first Beis HaMikdash was Nechrav, the Gemara, the famous Gemara in Yuma, that the first Beis HaMikdash was Nechrav because of Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayah, Shvichas Damim. And we look at that and we say, well, we have no shaychus to that, idolatry and sexual promiscuity and murder. But Rav Tzadik says, Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayah, Shvichas Damim are simply symptoms of underlying character flaws that we still have. Pirkei Avos says, Kina Taiva V'Kavod. Kina, jealousy, envy. Taiva, excessive lust for material pleasures. Kavod, the need for ego gratification and glory and self-aggrandizement. Those are the Avi Avos Hatuma, Maitzien Es Ha'adam Min Ha'olam. They take a person away from the world. Kina Taiva V'Kavod. Rav Tzadik points out that Kina, the jealousy, the envy we have over others, if it's taken to its extreme, can even result in Shvichas Damim, where we want to murder. And of course, murder includes not just physically murdering, but Malbim Pnei Chavera, humiliating somebody, B'Rabim, is also murder. And that comes from the Koach within a person
that is kina. Gilui arayos, sexual offenses, of course, comes from the koach of taiva. And avodah zarah, Tzadok says, avodah zarah is that idea within a person that recognizes anyone other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the ultimate source of authority. And that's covered when a person is a Baal Gaiva, when a person, as it were, regards themselves as the center of the universe. That is avodah zarah. So Rav Tzadok says that the tikkun of avodah zarah, gilui arayos, shvichas damim, even if we don't do them b'maisa, but they come from the character flaws of kina, taiva, v'kavod, jealousy, lust, kavod, honor, ego, gaiva, arrogance. All of these things which were goreim, the goreim of the first Churban. In fact, Rav Tzadok goes on, he has a very, very beautiful point. He says, in the beginning of Parshas Naso, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayishalchu min ha-machaneh, you have to expel from the Jewish machaneh in the Midbar three forms of Tameim, the Tzarua, the Zav, and the Tamei Nefesh. And the Gemara Pesachim explains, Rashi brings it, that the Metzaira is expelled from all three camps, Machaneh Shechina, the Mishkan, the Machaneh of the Levim, and the Machaneh Yisrael. The Zav, which is a person that has a gonorrheal discharge, is expelled from the Machaneh Shechina and Machaneh Levia, but he's mutter in Machaneh Yisrael. And the Tamei Nes is only expelled from the Mishkan, from the Machaneh Shechina. The Tamei Nes is permitted in Machaneh Levia and Machaneh Yisrael. And Rav Tzadok explains these three forms of Tameim that you have to expel from a Jewish society also correspond to Kina Taiva V'Kavet. The Mitzayer, which is a chait that primarily comes because of Lashon Hara. What is within a person that makes them want to speak Lashon Hara about others? Why do we enjoy putting down others? Why do we enjoy, as it were, instead of raising ourselves, we enjoy the cutting down the other person? Although, Baruch Hashem, there's been a lot of progress, I think, in the recent years in terms of Klal Yisrael being conscious of this. It's primarily because of kina. There's a certain jealousy. We want to show that person isn't as great as people think. You think he's good. I know something about him that shows what type of person he really is. So the Mitzayah is the Kayach of kina. Kina, Rav Tzadok says, is such an evil thing that kina has no makom in Klal Yisrael. Kina, not only do we banish from Machaneh Shechina, and not only from Machaneh Levia, we even banish it from Machaneh Yisrael. Because even though Chazal say, Kina Seifim Tarbe Chachma, that literally the jealousy among people who are learning Torah increases wisdom, that is the jealousy where that person is great and I want to emulate him. But the kina that says, I want to cut him down, is totally evil. That's why the Metzora is sent out of all three Machanais. Because kina has no makom in Klal Yisrael. Taiva, however, is a little bit more complicated. Certainly an excessive involvement in the pleasures of this world takes a person away from Avodas Hashem, there's no question. On the other hand, we also know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want us to totally separate from legitimate pleasures. The Nazir, for example, is a chayte. And Rashi quotes Rabbi Elazar HaKapor, because Sir Atzmei Min Hayayin, the Torah says you're allowed to drink wine, so for the Nazir to say, I don't want to enjoy this world, that's a getter of a chait as well. One who's Yeshev B'tainis, according to Elazar HaKapor, who has voluntary extra fast days beyond the halacha, is called a chayte. There's even the Talmud Yerushalmi, don't tell your kids because they can use it against you, that says a person is osed litei nesadin. A person is going to have to give a din v'cheshbon on every pleasure they could have enjoyed in this world that they didn't enjoy. Because it's as if they're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't appreciate your bria. Rav Shimon Rav Hirsch used to tell people that if you didn't see the Alps, if you were in Europe, Hashem is going to ask you, I made the Alps so you should enjoy them. You're not makir tov. So unlike kina, which is a total rishus, taiva, some indulgence has a makom. So Manela, in Machaneh Yisrael, which are the average from Yid, Taiva has a makom, although you curtail it and you try to moderate it, etc. It's for the Levim, who are totally Isaac and Avedas Hashem, they should try to banish their connection to that. But then, and that's why the Zav, which represents Taiva, is expelled from Machane Shechina, Machane Leviyah, but the Zav is given a Makah in Machane Yisrael, that Kayach of Taiva. But then Rav Tzadok comes to Kavod. Kavod is the most tricky of all. What does Kavod mean? Kavod means honor, glory. But Rav Shushnerfal Hirsch writes that the Sherish of Kavod is the same as Kaved, to be heavy, to be weighty, to be significant. To look at another human being with kavod doesn't just mean you're polite. To look at another human being with kavod means you regard them as weighty and significant. Kavod is on one hand a very bad thing. It can lead to gaiva and arrogance. But at the same time, kavod is essential in Avodas Hashem. If a person thinks they're dirt, if a person thinks they're worthless, if a person isn't makir the tremendous kaychais that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to accomplish great things, then no one will reach their potential, whether it be a child, whether it be an adult. A person has to recognize that they are great, that a yid is capable of great things. So if Tzedek says, kavod is a bit ambiguous. If it's taken in the wrong way, it leads to arrogance and gaiva, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Ein ani v'hu yecholim moder v'moder echad," that the Baal Gaiva Hashem says, there's not enough room in the world for me and him. And yet, a total absence of kavod leads to shiftless self-negation, leads to yish, despondency, despair, paralysis. It needs to be balanced, as Rav Bunim Rav Preshiska used to say, a person has to have two ideas in both pockets. One is Anochi Afor V'Efer, I am dirt and ashes. And the other is Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, because of me was the world created. And therefore Rav Tzadok says, Tamei Meis represents kavod. Why is this? Death came into the world because of the sin of Adam and Chava. What was their sin? Kavod. Because the Nachash said, V'hayisem kelekim, you can be like God. They said, what a deal. We can be like God? Yedei Tovara, whatever that means. It was the desire of Kavod that led them to be molded against Hashem. And therefore God brought death into the world, because death is the ultimate reminder that a human being is not God. Death is the ultimate defeat, in a sense. Death reminds us to be humble, to be submissive, to recognize the merchak that is between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, Tamei Meis comes from kavod. But that kavod exists in Machane Yisrael, and it even exists in Machane Leviyah, because even the Oved Hashem needs the kavod. But when you're in Machane Shechina, when there's total connection with Hashem, then there's called Bitel Hayesh. Then you don't exist as a separate entity. So Rav Tzadok Tainis, these three kochos, Kina, Taiva, V'Kavod. Kina, which is the Metzorah, gets sent out of all three machanas. Taiva has a makam in Machane Yisrael, and Kavod even has a makam in Machane Leviyah. But as we get closer and closer to Hashem, we need the Kavod less and less, because we're connecting to that ultimate source. And Rav Tzadok says, B'kitzer, the Aveda of the 3 weeks is to be Mesakin, the Aveda Zorah, Gilei Raiah, Shvichas Damim, which manifests itself in Kina, Taiva, V'Kavod. I want to mention one thing, too. In this sense, I mentioned before, why should we be thinking about Aveda Zorah, Gilei Raiah, Shvichas Damim? We don't do any of that stuff, so Rav Tzadok's approach is because it comes from Kina, Taiva, V'Kavod. But I should mention another prat too. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us an amazing thing. It says that at the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told a malach to be Reisha Metav, mark on the forehead of all of the tzaddikim in Yerushalayim, that they should be saved from destruction because they didn't do any averis. And the Midas Adin said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma nishtanu elo me'elo? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because they didn't sin. But the Midas Adin said, Haya biyadam limchais v'lomichu, they could have been meicha. They could have protested, they could have stopped, and they didn't stop it. And then another malach said, what do you mean, Hashem? Golo v'yadua lefanecha. You know, Hashem, that if they would have been meicha, it wouldn't have made a difference. But the Midas HaDin then says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you knew, but they didn't know. Again, the Gemara is telling us, which Chazal say in many, many places, that when we talk about a chait, it's not only the perpetrators of chatayim, but rather those who could have been mocha, those who could have done more to stop it, those who in their own lives we could have created a greater Kiddush Hashem. And in Ruchnius we don't even know the effect of mitzvahs and masim taivim. It is said b'shem b'chafetz chayim that the learning of the Yeshiva Bachrin and Radin affected the fashions in Paris. That the Kedusha that we add with our mitzvahs have ripple effects in all sorts of areas. And lehepech, if we, those of Klal Yisrael who are zocha to be shomer mitzvahs, if we are not as meticulous as we should be, even if they're small things, so we think, the ripple effects of the type of world that creates are beyond our comprehension. So to say, we don't do Avodah Zorah, Gila Raya, Shvicha Stamim, how do we even know that? How do we know about the effect that whatever we're not doing that we should be doing has on all sorts of things that are going on in the world? We know this by Kedusha. There's a famous, the Beis Yosef had a private malach that he used to learn b'chavrusa with. He called it the Maggid. And he wrote a sefer, he wrote a diary of his discussions with the malach. And he recounts there a maisa that one time he had spent a very long time trying to understand a sugya in Gemara. He had a difficult kasha. And after several weeks, he finally came to an understanding of it. And he's walking by in the streets of Tzfas, and he overhears a shoemaker learning with his little son that same passage in the Gemara. And the little son, 8-year-old boy, asks his father the same kasha that the Beis Yosef was working on for so many months. So the shoemaker is very annoyed. The shoemaker says to his son, you're asking me these stupid questions? I knew I shouldn't learn at the Kindlech. This is too hard for you. And the shoemaker gave a very simple teret, which was exactly what the Beis Yosef had worked on for weeks and weeks. So the Beis Yosef felt Hashem had punished him by not letting him see what is an obvious thing. So he records that he asked his magid, why was Hashem monea this emes from me? And the magid said, you have it totally wrong. What you perceived was a great secret that the world was not privileged to receive yet. Through your yegiah, through your work, through your amelus, through your avodas Hashem, you were zocha to crack open this great mystery. Once you brought it into the world, even though nobody, you didn't talk to anybody about it, once you brought it into the world, it's now become accessible for everybody. That even explains, by the way, you know, it's very well known in the history of science that there is often simultaneity of scientific recovery. Many people discover things at the same time. This also explains why we could be mechaveng sometimes, you know, to a very subtle point of a Rishon or an Acharon. They kind of brought it into the world, it then becomes accessible. If that's true for Kedusha, it's also true for Tumah, unfortunately. That we bring things into the world that make it easier for others, as well as us, to be poets together. So that's kind of an avoda klolis, to recognize the forces of kina, taiva, v'kavod, and how the 3 weeks are connected, the three redemptions, the three lashonos of redemption, kina, from kina, from taiva, from kavod, culminating in Tisha B'Av, which, if we do the Hachana right, is the Yom Shenolad Bo Mashiach, the day that Mashiach is born, because when one recognizes the depth of Galus, that is the beginning of the redemption. That is indeed the Geula. That is one point. That's kind of the Aveda Klolis of the three weeks. Specifically, however, Chazal identify, again, I'm still talking about the first Chorban, because I think there's still a ratio of the first Chorban as well. Chazal identify another Aveira for why the Beis HaMikdash was Nechrev. It's not just Aveira Zorah, Gili Araya, Shvicha Stamim, but the Gemara in the Dorim says on the Pasuk, Alma of the Haaretz, why was the land destroyed? And Dovor Zeh, they asked the Chachamim, they didn't know. They asked the Nevi'im, they didn't know. They asked the Zakenim, they didn't know. And by the way, since it says they asked the Nevi'im, it must be a reference to the Chorban Bayis Rishon, although the Gemara is not entirely clear, because by the Chorban Bayis Sheni there were no Nevi'im. And the Gemara says, Molamed Shalo Birchu Batayra Techila. They were learning Torah, but they did not recite the blessings over the Torah. So their emphasis is, there are two kashas here. Kasha number one is, even if we learn like the Ramban, and that's a machlokas, that Birchas HaTorah is a mitzvah d'oraita, so the Ramban does learn that one of the mitzvahs is to recite a blessing before you learn Torah. All right, but it's a bitul asay. I mean, listen, is not saying Birchas HaTorah so chamor that it results in a Chorban Beis HaMikdash? And a second question is, why does it say the Nevi'im didn't know? If we know indeed that the Yidden at the time of the first Chorban were guilty of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim, so the Nevi'im don't know, the Zakenim don't know, you have to find an esoteric Aveira of Lo Bircha B'Torah Techila? Alma of the Haaretz? So there's a beautiful insight from Rav Leo Lapian, who says, the question of Alma of the Haaretz is not asking what sins did the Jewish people commit. We know what sins they committed. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. But it's asking this question. Given the fact that they were Osek B'Torah, given the fact that they were learning Torah, shouldn't the Torah protect a person from descending into the grossest, most animal-like behavior? That is their Pella. Their Pella is, how can you have a society where people are learning Torah? And yet the Torah gives them no shmira, it gives them no protection. And they descend into Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. That's the kasha. So what's the answer? Lo Bircha B'Torah Techila. How is that an answer? So he quotes the Gemara. You know, if you remember at the beginning of Malachim, at the beginning of the book of Malachim, David HaMelech is old and sick. He's 70 years old. And Vayachasu Bibgadim. They're covering up with clothes. V'lo Yicham Lai. And he's not getting any warmth. And Chazal say, why was he not warmed by the clothing? Because kol hamavazeh es habagadim. Right, so if your kids throw around their clothes, you can tell them, you know, your mavazeh es habagadim. If you treat clothing disrespectfully, it will not take care of you at the end. And when David was being pursued by Shaul, he cut off part of Shaul's garment. He treated clothes with a lack of respect. The mele, the onish, was that the clothing didn't help him. So Rav Elia says, what do you see from this Gemara? You see a very simple idea. That which you don't respect, that which you don't care for, does not protect you, does not take care of you when you need it. Torah is the same thing. Learning Torah is a tremendous shmira. It can purify a person's neshama. It can elevate them. It can transform them. It can be misak in their midos. But only if you're machshavit. Only if you love it, only if you care about it. And Rav Elia says, as the Ran says, Lo Birchu B'Torah Techila is symptomatic of the fact that they looked at Limud HaTorah as an intellectual exercise. They were interested in the subject matter, just as some people like math and geometry, and some people like chess, and some people like physics, some people like Gemara. But they didn't regard it as something, as it were, that was the Devar Hashem. They were mevaze es ha-Torah. And if they're mevaze es ha-Torah, the Torah doesn't protect them. And therefore, it's no contradiction. The actual cause of the Chorban was Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. It wasn't a punishment for Lo Bircha B'Torah Techila. That's a bitul asay. You're not going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash because they didn't do an asay. But the kasha is, why didn't the Torah that they learned protect them from that? The answer is because when you're not machshiv the thing, there's no shmira. We have to ask ourselves again, b'cheshbon hanefesh, and each person has to make a cheshbon hanefesh. We do mitzvahs, Baruch Hashem. We do mitzvahs, we learn Torah. But are we truly machshiv Torah for what it is? You know, I often see, I've had experiences, let's say, in Washington, when the Redskins play football, it's always a big thing. So people might be attending a Gemara Shir, or whatever it is, and falling asleep, half awake, or like, and then somebody comes in with the Redskins score. All of a sudden, awake, geschmack, excitement, it's lavos. How come, and again, I mean, I say I have this, I mean, that the Redskins happens not to be my Yitzhar, but I mean, there are other things in which I'm the same way. We have to ask ourselves, Why is it that when it comes to the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we often go through the motions, but the true geshmak, the true simcha, the true excitement often grips us from some other place? That's a question of Mevazeh es HaTorah, Lo Birchu BaTorah Techila. And as the Chazal teach us based on Rav Elia's explanation, one can learn a lot of Torah and do a lot of mitzvahs even, but if one is not machshiv, the sanctity and the greatness, if one does not love those mitzvahs, if one is not makir tov to Hashem for giving them that opportunity, then the mitzvahs are not going to give a person a shmira, a protection from even the worst aveiros that a society does, even aveidah zarah, even gilui arayos, even shvichas damim, in one level or the other, perhaps connected to the kinah taiva v'kavod. So that is the second aveira that Chazal identify, lo birchu b'taira techila. I should say, there's a beautiful story I once read from the Meshech Chachma, the Or Sameach, that the Or Sameach was learning b'chavrusa, and when they got to a certain point where they didn't understand something, the Or Sameach says, let's stop and say Tehillim, and let's be mispalel to Hashem that he should make the Torah sweet to us, like the Harevna, make it sweet to us. So as Chavrusa asked him, if you don't understand something in the Torah, why do you ask Hashem to make it sweet? Ask Hashem to give you knowledge. So Rav Meir Simcha said, no, and I'll explain to you why every day we ask Hashem to make the words of the Torah sweet. Imagine you have a little baby, and the baby is fidgety, and the baby is crying, and the baby just can't be comfortable. And everyone's holding the baby and nothing happens. And the mother takes the baby and the baby is comforted. Why would the baby be comforted? A young baby, 2 months old, 1 month old, in the hands of the mother. Now again, some scientists will tell you smell and everything else, but Rav Meir Simcha offered the following explanation. Because the mother's love is so deep and intense, the mother is sensitive to every nuance, every shifting of weight, things that a person who doesn't have that love is not even going to notice. And thus the mother can respond to what the baby needs. Because when you love, you're sensitive to every little prat. Rav Meir Simcha says, if a person doesn't understand Hashem's Torah, if a person doesn't see the insight or the nuance, it's not a lack of IQ or a lack of intelligence. It's a lack of love. And you ask Hashem to give you the love so that you can look at the Torah and you could see every movement and every nuance and every nekuda. Because the more you love, the more you see. And this is what Rav Meir Simcha said. This is why we say v'harevna, and this is why when a person is stuck, again, I'm not saying it halacha l'maisa, but he said when a person is stuck, your mispalel that Hashem should make the Torah pleasant to you, sweet to you, you should love it more. Rav Meisha used to say that indeed, the whole attitude, Shver Chazayin Yid, it was hard to be a Jew, ruined a whole generation, in the immigrant generations in the early part of this century, where if being a Yid is a burden, is a sacrifice, then why should a person continue it? So that is all Nichlal in Leibirchu B'Torah Techila. The notion of being machshavit, of loving it, of appreciating it, and then it protects you. There is a third chait. There are many chatam. I'm being very selective. The Gemara in Bava Metzia identifies as a cause for the Chorban, and here it is not clear if it's the Chorban Bayis Rishon or the Chorban Bayis Sheni, or both. And that is, it says, Hamidu Divrayim Al Din Torah, that the reason for the Chorban is people followed the halacha exactly. You think, nishkefelech, hemidu divrayim al din Torah, such a bad thing. But it says they weren't mevater. They were not willing to be generous to each other. They weren't willing, we have in America today, in fact, Alexander de Tocqueville, the very famous commentator on democracy in America over 200 years ago, once remarked that 200 years ago he noticed that Americans were a very litigious country. In other words, if you have your fence 1/4 inch over my boundary, I'm going to take you to court. Well, sometimes we see that Jews have become that way as well, but we know that the teva of a Jew, to be a rachman, to be a merciful person, a baishan, a humble person, a gaimel chesed, a person of loving kindness, means that you can be 100% right and still be 100% wrong. That there is an inyan that a Jew should try to develop within themselves, the ability to be a mochel, to be a forgiver, to be a mavater, to give up, not to insist that everything be our way exactly. Here the Gemara has a wonderful maisa of Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. Rabbi Bar Chana hired workers to transport his wine, and they were negligent, and the wine broke, all the barrels of wine broke, and Rabbi Bar Bar Chana took them to Beis Din, took them in front of Rav, his Rebbe, that they should pay for their negligence, for their pshia. And Rav says, and their only defense was, we're poor, we don't have the money. So Rav paskened, you don't have to pay him. So Rabbi Bar Bar Chana asked Rav, Dina Hachi, is that the din? And Rav said, for you, that's the din. Yeah, for you, that's the din. You should forgive those who can't afford it. Well, then in an early example of chutzpah, they turned around and said, hey, you didn't pay us our wages for the day. So Rabbi Bar Bar Chana says, it's not enough that you ruin my wine and you don't have to pay me. I have to pay you? He said, yeah, you do. We need the money. And Rav agreed. And again, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana says, Dina Hachi, is that the din? And Rav says, yes, for you, that's the din. Orchos Sadikim Tishmor. That one should try to follow the pathway of a tzaddik. Now again, the Rishonim explain, this was not a regular Beis Din. One should understand this. It would be an Isser D'Oraisa, actually, for a regular Beis Din to favor a poor person. That's a lot in the Torah. Right? It says, V'dal Laisada Berivo, don't show favoritism to the poor. So the Rishonim explain, this was not a Beis Din, but rather Rav was the Rebbe of Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. And Rav felt as the relationship of a Rebbe to a Talmud. He had to teach his Talmud that we should learn to forgive. And it's very, very simple. Why does the Gemara say that's a reason for the Churban? Because Hashem acts with us mida keneged mida. If we go by the book, Hashem says, that's fine, you can go by the book. I'll go by the book too. But unfortunately for us, when the Eibishter goes by the book, we often have a hard time of it. We need rachmanis. We need forgiveness. We need vitor on some level. And consequently, the only way we can be zoche to it is if we are mevater to others with rachmanis. So it's not an einish. It's not that the Gemara says, because of the sin of being maimed al din Torah, there was a churban. But rather, the attitude of following exactly the din means we don't give up, we don't give in, we're not mochel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, that's the way I'll be with you. Chazal say, in many, many places, call him Merachim al Abrios. If we have Rachmanus on others, Merachmim Alav Min HaShemayim, the Eibishter has Rachmanus on us. That's why the Berditchever always said that, why did he always have all sorts of people come into his sukkah? He says, because when I go to the Eibishter sukkah in Olam Haba, I don't want to be told to leave because I'm too inferior. He says, because I told him, in my sukkah, everybody came in. Eibishter, you have to let me into your sukkah as well. So far we've mentioned three things, three Marmorei Chazal, Avodah Zarah, Gil Reish, V'Chastamim, one cause for the Churban, Lo Berchu Batorah Techila, the second cause, and the third is Hemidu Divrehem Al Din Torah, that they weren't Mevatir. Now, of course, I come to the big one, the most meforsome of all, the most well-known of all, and the most difficult of all. And that is the Gemara in Yuma says, if the Mikdash Rishon was destroyed because of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim, what was the Iker reason for the Churban Bayis Sheni? So the Gemara says, because of Sinas Chinam, because of irrational or needless or baseless hatred that existed among Jews. And remember what the Gemara says, Bo Ru'ei, come and see, the first Beis HaMikdash, which there was Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim, the Golus only lasted for 70 years. And the second Churban, because of Sinas Chinam, Chazal already said, it's been many, many more years than that, and from the time Chazal wrote that, it's been many, many more years from that. You see how tremendously chamor the Aveira of Sinas Chinam is. Well, the Talmud Yerushalmi says, any generation which does not have a Beis HaMikdash is as guilty as the generation of the Churban. Because if we wouldn't be as guilty of that sin, we would have it. Sinas Chinam. Do we have Sinas Chinam today? We live in a world of polarization. We live in a world of machlokas. We live in a world of dissension. Not merely between from and not from, but between many, many gradations of from. Chassidim, Misnagdim, different types of Chassidim, modern Orthodox, Nidah Yarmulke, black hat, white hat, blue hat. Issues of Shidduchim are broken up because of the color of hat a person wears. Shuls disintegrates because the influx of Balei Tshuva has necessitated the announcing of pages. So some of the more from Mispalelim don't feel comfortable in that environment. They don't want to be with those type of people. Sinas Chinam, very, very much existing. Where he sent his sons to a number of different schools, having different philosophies because each school was better. And he had in his car, he had five different head coverings, because when he took his son to one yeshiva, he wore a black hat. Then to another yeshiva, he wore a black yarmulke. Then another one, he had a knitted yarmulke. Now, one time I was with him, he was running late, and he ran into a cheder wearing his knitted yarmulke. And he told me, he came out shaken. He said, you know, they told me if they ever see me like that again, you know, that's it. They're kicking the sun out. I mean, this is the polarization that we have in our situation. The emesis, Sinas Chinam, the Netziv writes in his Hakdama to Chumash Bereishis. Very, very interesting thing. The Netziv says, what was the Sinas Chinam in the Bayis Sheni? It was a Sinas Chinam based on religious superiority, where you looked at people who you said were not as, this is the Netziv writing, not my, looked at people who were not as firm as you, and said, they're tzedukim, they're apikorsim, they're not worthwhile, they're garnished, they're no good. And the emes is, a sinas chinam that is based on religious superiority is the hardest sinas chinam to eradicate, because a person feels that they're right, and they feel that it's justified. And indeed, it's a very complicated shaila. It's not so poshut. David HaMelech does talk about Misamecha Hashem Esna Tachlis Sinas Anesim. David HaMelech talks about hating Rishonim. It's a very, very difficult issue. But that's why it is so difficult without the guidance of a Gadol. It's Dinei Nefashis. Before one hates, one needs to clearly be mavar, what are the parameters of that? And here, it happens to be that in this coming Parsha, we have a very interesting insight. We have Pinchas, right? Pinchas, the great Kanoi, the one who stands up and sees Rishus being perpetrated with Zimri and Cosby, the Nasi of Shimon, and he acts on his own because he's a Kanoi, he is zealous for the glory of Hashem, and he stabs them both. And because of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards Pinchas with a bris shalom. But Rav Chaim Shulevitz used to explain Rashi. Rashi points out that it says Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron. So Rashi points out that it's miyachasim to Aaron, because people made fun of the fact that Pinchas' mother, Elazar's wife, was also from Yisrael, was an idol worshiper, and people were saying, hey, who are you to be such a big shot to punish people who do Averos? And that's why the Torah says, well, he's not only Ben Elazar, he's Ben Aaron. If you think about it though, Rashi is very shver. If the Shvatim are telling Pinchas, hey Pinchas, your mother comes from Yisrael, so why are you so good? How are you answering that by saying, yeah, but I also come from Aaron? So what? You also come from Bas Yisrael. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz used to say, very, very beautifully, the pshat is like this. When the Shvatim and the Vazanoso, they're telling Pinchas, Pinchas, you inherited from your idolatrous side of the family propensities to anger, animosity. You acted as a hothead because you wanted to be accepted in Klal Yisrael as a true believer, so you went ahead and became the zealot. But it came from an evil place. So when the Torah is Meyed Ben Aaron, the Torah says no. Pinchas, see, it's not Pinchas, the son of Elazar, who is the son of Aaron. Rather, Pinchas is genealogically the son of Elazar. Spiritually, he's the son of Aaron. Who is Aaron? Ohev Shalom, a lover of peace. Regev Shalom, a pursuer of peace. Pinchas did not act bekanos because that was his nature. Pinchas did not act bekanos because he enjoyed, as it were, disparaging others, cutting down others, destroying others to show what a tzaddik he was. It's the opposite. Pinchas was the one who acted out of Avas Yisrael. He loved the Jewish people. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik used to say, what's the difference between a legitimate kanoi and a not legitimate kanoi? He said the difference is between, imagine a housewife gets a cat because there are mice that are infesting your house. The housewife and the cat have a common agenda. Both the housewife and the cat hope that the cat will catch mice. But the nafkamina is that the housewife would be much happier if there wouldn't be any mice in the house. But the cat wants a mouse that it can rip apart and chew. The cat will not be happy if there are no mice. There is a kanos in the world where you constantly look to expose people's shortcomings. And you look and you look and you look, and if you look long enough, you'll find something. And then you can expose them and be mavaza them and humiliate them. And in that way, we sometimes give ourselves a sense of superiority because we are better than others. And even if it doesn't take public embarrassment, it's a smugness we have to ourselves. Because it's always easier to blame the other guy for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. If only they wouldn't be around, the world would be better. But Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and Rav Chaim Shmulevitz uses this, says that a real kanoi gets no joy in exposing the chesronos of others. Sometimes there are things we have to do. We have to take stands. We have to be mocha, indeed. But we do so with sadness. We do so with love. We do so with care and concern, even for the people whose ideas we reject. Because the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to look at people and try to find the good that is in them. What does the Gemara in Shabbos say, and the Pasuk in Iyov that we recite Erev Yom Kippur by Kaporis? Im yesh malach minei elef, if there is one angel out of a thousand that can see the good within a person, Hashem says, Pidaeyu mi redeshachas, redeem that person, Matsasi Pifer, I have found a ransom for him. And Rabbi Elazar says in the Gemara, if there's one angel out of a thousand, and even if within that angel there's 999 parts of that angel that says there's nothing good here, and it's 1,000th of one out of 1,000 angels, Hashem says, that's good enough for me. And how often are we the opposite? A person can have 999 good points, and we notice immediately, like a laser, we notice the chisarim. We notice. And again, how often does it even happen in our own immediate families where our spouse might do something very, very nice for us, wash the dishes, clean the house, or our child brings us a gift, and it's not quite right. And the first words out of our mouth sometimes is, why didn't you do this? And how does a person feel? You know, sometimes husbands are inept at doing domestic things properly. But somebody spent hours doing it. And how does one feel? How does a husband feel? How does a wife feel? How does a child feel? And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah is to try to see the good within the person. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz tells us, the true kanoi does not act out of hatred of a person. The true kanoi acts out of love for the person. A true kanoi may hate those ideas that are connected to Das of Hashem. But it does not turn into a hatred of the person. And certainly, without getting into all the halachas, and of course one should talk this over with a Rav or a Paisek, but certainly in our generation, which is a generation of Hester Panim, a generation which we don't have Nevuah, a generation in which people were raised so distant from Hashem, we already have Pesachim of the Chazon Ish, for example, that says, Bizman Hazeh, all of the many halachas in Chazal about the treatment of heretics and the like do not apply Bizman Hazeh, because we're in the union of a Tinok Shenishba. Now that doesn't mean moral relativism. That doesn't mean I'm okay, you're okay. It doesn't mean, you know, everything is an alternative, legitimate lifestyle. But it means that we look at other human beings with a sense of covet. You know, in my own experience, I remember years ago, I was giving a shiur somewhere, and a woman talked to me. These were people who were not from, and a woman spoke to me, and she began her remarks by saying, I'm not as religious as you, but... So what occurred to me then was, why do you say you're not as religious as me? There might be mitzvos that I do that you don't yet do, but there might be things you do in a higher way than I. I can learn from you too. Maybe you're more careful in Lashon Hara. Maybe you're a better spouse. Maybe you're a better parent. Maybe you're more generous in your tzedakah, and maybe you treat aniyim with a greater level of consideration that, you know, sometimes we're not able to do. Meaning, you don't divide the world into an us and a them. But rather, every person has to be makir that there are so many dimensions of Avodas Hashem which we are also wanting. And if people are committed to go on that ladder together, even if some are in a different point of the ladder, we look at them with kavod. Remember I said before, kavod is the sense that they're important, they're weighty, they're chashuv. It's not just being polite. And this is what we talk about. We talk about sinas chinam. Sinas chinam doesn't have to mean hating people and throwing stones at them. Baruch Hashem, in America, we tend not to be stone throwers. That's not our thing. But sinas chinam can also be apathy, indifference, not caring, not wanting to be around certain people because they don't behave the way we're comfortable behaving. And yet, because of that, not only do we deny them the chesed of exposing them to Torah, but I want to say we deny ourselves the opportunity of growing and expanding and learning in Avodas Hashem. Because you have to know that Kirev Rechaikim is not just we are the perfect people who are teaching them, but we learn from them as well. One cannot be masig the holiness in the Yiddish neshama, our own neshamas and the neshamas of others. One cannot see the resolves of self-sacrifice and of goodness if we just open ourselves up and allow ourselves to learn from each other in that sense. So the us against them mentality is kind of a false dichotomy in many ways. Again, it's confusing because there is a lot that we do have to protest against and protect against, and we are legitimately concerned with our children being exposed to certain things. But I think on some level, which is not clearly defined, I think sometimes we move in the opposite direction. It's just too much of an unwillingness, as it were, to share and learn and grow from each other. The story goes that Franz Rosenzweig, the famous German Jewish philosopher, who towards the end of his life became somewhat of a Baal Tshuva. He was stricken with multiple sclerosis, and at the end of his life he was asked, does he put on tefillin? And his response was, not yet. And not yet is a wonderful response. You know, he could have said no. When a person says no, no says, this is what I am, it's up kapaskind. Not yet says, I'm on a journey, I'm on a destination, and there are new things I will hopefully do. I'm not there yet. Not yet is a great common denominator, because every Yid, no matter who he is, has a not yet in their life. You could have finished Shas 100 times. Not yet, you shall me. Not yet, Me'a V'Echod. Not yet, Taisev. There's the not yet. In other words, every person has a not yet. And as long as we are committed to Aliyah in Avodas Hashem, as long as we are participants in that struggle, there is a basis for dialogue, there's a basis for interaction, there's a basis for covet, there's a basis for love. They tell a story, it's a little bit of a, it's a joke, but it's a cute chassidish maisa, that a Rebbe was teaching a child in cheder how to read. And when he came to the sitter, the two yids side by side, which is the Shem Hashem, so the Rebbe said, you read this HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So then when he came to the end of the pasuk, it had two dots on top, like a colon. It also looked like two yids, so the child read it, Hashem's name. So the Rebbe said, no. When it's the end of a pasuk, it's the end of a pasuk. So the student asked the Rebbe, how come earlier on it was Yud Yud was Hashem's name, and now it's the end of a pasuk? So the Rebbe said like this, when you have two yids side by side, two yidden who stand next to each other, who share with each other, who regard each other with respect, there is the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is where you have two yidden together. When one yid stands on top of another yid, looking down at them, disparaging them, insulting them, being mavatal them, that is the end of the pasuk. The Torah can go no further. Torah cannot exist when there is a disparagement, a lack of covet. So the us against them is not emes, because all of us are really in the same boat. In fact, there's a beautiful vortz from Rav Kook. Rav Kook, of course, was the great exemplar of Avas Yisrael. I realize that there are aspects of his philosophy that some find controversial, but Rav Kook said a wonderful vort. You know, Shmona Esrei was originally 18 brachos, and then Rabban Gamliel of Yavne looked for somebody to make an extra bracha, which is called Birchas Haminim, a bracha against the heretics, which were really the early Jewish Christians who were taking people away, missionaries, really. So it says, Rabban Gamliel said, who could be mesakein a bracha against the Minim? And he couldn't find anybody till he found Shmuel HaKatan, one of the Tanoim, and Shmuel HaKatan composed the bracha of the Minim, which we say, V'lomal Shinim Al Tehi Sikva. So Rav Kook asked very simply, what's so hard about writing Brichas Haminim? I mean, if you had to write a bracha against the Minim, so I could write a bracha against the Minim. Rabbi Gamliel had to look for Shmuel HaKatan. So Rav Kook says, very, very beautiful thing. Rav Kook says, Shmuel HaKatan does not have a lot of statements in Chazal. But in Pirkei Avos, there is one statement from Shmuel HaKatan. In fact, it's not even his own statement. He's quoting a pasuk. Shmuel HaKatan Haya Aimer. Shmuel HaKatan used to say, B'nefol Oyevecha Al Tismach. Do not, this is a pasuk in Mishlei, but he used to quote this pasuk a lot. Upon the downfall of your enemy, don't rejoice. Rabban Gamliel needed someone to attack the Minim. But it couldn't be a person who was acting out of hatred, out of anger, out of resentment. Because kanos for Hashem has to come out of love. So he says, who can I find that is able to attack the Minim, but not out of a sense of hatred? Only Shmuel HaKatan, who exemplified in his life the Midah of B'nefol Oyevecha Al Tismach. And that goes back to Rav Chaim Shmulevitz and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's idea that the Kanoi needs to be motivated out of Avas Yisrael. So if one aspect of Sinas Chinam that we see is kind of a need to cut down other people to build ourselves up because it's easier to blame the Churban on the other guy, I should also say, though, that sometimes it turns into the opposite. You know, I recall years ago, I don't want to mention the community, I happened to be in a community, Shabbos Shuvah, not the community where I live in, and I went to two Shabbos Shuvah dreshes that day. And it was interesting. One was a very yeshiva sheminyan, where the Rav gave a Shabbos Shuvah drasha on the need to keep Shabbos properly. Then I happened to walk into a more modern synagogue, and the Rav talked about the imperatives of Avas Yisrael and Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And I often thought to myself that this would have been a wonderful thing if the drashas would have been reversed. Because in the Yeshiva Sheminyan, people were very, very meticulous in Shemira Shabbos. But sometimes there were issues of Bein Adam L'Chaveira. In the modern place, friendly, open, warm, everyone's nice. But, you know, perhaps they weren't so aimed on the pratim of Bishul and Bayer and everything else. So sometimes we do what is called preaching to the choir. You know, you give people what they're already doing and they walk out. And what do? You pat yourself on the back by saying, yeah, I do it right, and if only those people would do it. The emphasis is, you find in the world two types of Jews, two types of frum Jews. You have Jews who are kanan, who are verbrennt, who are passionate about their Yiddishkeit, but they often tend to be rejecting and exclusionary. And then you find Jews who are welcoming and inclusive and Abbas Yisrael, but it's, I'm okay, you're okay, whatever you do is fine. Very, very difficult to have the balance, to have the passion and the commitment, and at the same time not be mavato and not reject. Rav Shvedra used to tell a maisa. I just want to change this. He used to call it his meyerker maisa. It's a famous maisa. Pesach Kron has it in his book. He was explaining why in Eretz Yisrael, Taka, people throw stones sometimes, although it's not such a good thing, but it comes from a certain place that we do have to respect. He said that he once, a little boy, fell off a bike, and the boy's knees were very badly cut, and he was bleeding from the face. So Rosh Hashanah, like, picked up the boy and started running to take him to a doctor. So an old woman was standing by her merpeset on her porch, and she said, Reb Shalom, don't worry, it'll be good, or Refuah Shleima, it'll be fine. And as she gets closer and closer, she sees it's her ankle. So she starts shrieking. Oh, a minute ago, it was fine. Meyerka, 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 yeah, Gevalt, you know, Rebanish oil. So Shadron pointed out that until she saw it was her grandchild, no problem, very nice. When it's her ankle, it hurts. Rav Shadron says, sometimes when we are tolerant about averis that are being done, it's not always because we're such great Avas Yisrael, but it's because it's not our Meyerka. We don't care about it so much. So you see, it's a bit of a difficult thing that the concepts of loving and accepting, how do you reconcile that with the need to be very, very firm in what we teach our children, what we teach our own values? In other words, is the tolerance, the American Jewish community is a tolerant community, an accepting community more or less, and yet, does that come from an Avas Yisrael? Or does that come from an apathy where everything is okay because nothing makes a difference? Again, it's a cheshbon hanefesh that one has to go through. And finally on this prat about Avas Yisrael, I want to point out a ha'orah from the Sefer HaKsava HaKabbalah. It's one of the great mefarshim on the Chumash. It was the time of Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, and it was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva Eger, where he points out that normally the word for friend is chaver. But it doesn't say v'yahavta l'chaveirecha kamocha. It says v'yahavta l're'echa kamocha. What is the difference between re'a and chaver? Chaver comes from l'chaver, to connect things. My chaver is somebody who sees the world like I see the world. We're one. We're connected. The Torah doesn't have to say love your chaver like you love yourself. Of course I'm going to love my chaver. We look at the world the same way. Reya, the sherish of Reya, l'reya, is to shatter, to break. A Reya is a friend who does not necessarily see the world like you. And the Torah says, don't only love your chaver, love your Reya. By the way, although it's not a Sheva Brachas today, but that is why Chasan and Kala are called Reyim Ho'ahuvim, not Chaverim, Reyim, because by definition, man and woman see the world in different ways. They're not clones. And it's precisely the difference in their perceptions that create a harmony that is greater than the individual attributes that each person brings. Just to have myself doubled wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't grow from that. But it's bedafka. That's the azer kenegdo. That the azer of marriage is the kenegdo, is the tension in which wife and husband see the world in different ways and each learns from the other. Well, in macrocosm, that is the same for Reya. V'havta l'reyecha kamocha. So far, b'kitzer, we've really just elaborated on four mamori chazal, which talk about the reasons of the Chorban, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Shvichas Damim. Number one, lo birchu b'Torah techila, number two, Hamide Divrei Amaldin Torah, number four, and of course the most painful and most difficult one is the Aveira of Sinas Achinim. I just want to end with a short Torah, and that is, I mentioned before that there's a certain gift in darkness. There's a gift in Golus, because Golus allows us to recognize what we're missing. And when we feel what we're missing, we appreciate Ruchnius, we appreciate our Kesher to Hashem much more, because we have the pain of separation. The old saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder, a secular saying, but that's very, very true. That in Golus, the fire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes ever more powerful. In this sense, there's a beautiful vort. I began with a vort from Rav Tzadok, and I'll end with a vort from Rav Tzadok, a different vort. You know, we know the Gemara in Brachos tells us that each of the Avos enacted a separate tefillah. Avraham enacted Shachris, Yitzchak enacted Mincha, Yaakov enacted Ma'ariv. We also know, in Halacha, that although Shachris and Mincha are obligatory, Ma'ariv, although now it's become an obligatory custom, but Ma'ariv was originally a Rishus, an optional prayer. Not Kriya Shema is Deoraisa, but the Shemona Esrei of Ma'ariv, the Tefillah of Ma'ariv, was a Rishus. So Rav Tzedek asked the Kasha, if Yaakov Avinu is the greatest of our Avos, he's the only one of the Avos that all of his children are Klal Yisrael, Mitaso Shlema, Avram had a Yishmael, and Yitzchak had an Esav, but Yaakov is Mitaso Shlema. Why should the prayer of Yaakov be inferior to the prayer of Avram and Yitzchak? Why is Tfilas Arvis Rishus? So Rav Tzedek says, again, the different, actually Rishonim asked the Kasha, some Rishonim say Tfilas Arvis Rishus only if it's connected to Midim, not if it's connected to Avos, but we paskin connected Avos, and yet we paskin Arvis as Rishus. So Rav Tzedek says the following, the three Tfilas correspond to three different moods that we have when we turn to the Ribono Shel Olam. Now today, in this time of artificial light, we don't really have these sense of transitions. But imagine if you didn't have light, the difference between how you feel in the morning when you pray and how you feel when it's dark. The morning is the prayer of grateful, of gratitude, of thankfulness for all of the beautiful things that God has given us. It is a prayer of joyous Hakaras HaTov. And that is the tefillah of Avraham Avinu, where Avraham Avinu was respected, he was wealthy, he was admired, he was makarev after the Akedah, he was zochet to the brachas of seeing his children. Even Yishmael did tshuva before Avraham died. That was the bracha of tikover b'seva tova, that Avraham left the world seeing all of the blessings of Hashem mekuyam in his lifetime. Even Esav. Esav did not become an open Russia till the day Avraham died. Right? He was not Yitzchak HaRishon till the day Avraham died. That is the getter of Shachris. Shachris is HaKoras HaTov for the good in our lives. Mincha? What's Mincha? Imagine the New York Stock Exchange. When were they closed? 4 or 5, I don't remember. But right before they close, now you see this tremendous panic to try to get in those last few minutes before the bell rings. Mincha, it's still daylight, but the sun is setting. There's a sense of panic. Things are beginning to slip away. Again, in an agrarian society in particular, once it gets dark, that's the end of any possibility to work that day, certainly in the fields. So, Mincha is the prayer of panic. Things are still good, but you begin to feel that perhaps you're losing your grip, and you ask Hashem, let me hold on to these brachas. That's the prayer of Yitzchak. Why? Yitzchak is still living in Eretz Yisrael, indeed. But remember, the 400 years of Golus begins from the birth of Yitzchak. Yitzchak already feels like a ger, the Eretz Lo Lahem, a stranger, an alien. I always think of this in terms of how a Jew felt in Germany in 1933-34. You're still around, but not very welcome. Things are beginning to happen. That's Mincha. That's Mincha. What is Ma'ariv? When was Yaakov Avinu Masakin Ma'ariv? Yaakov Avinu was 63 years old. He took the brachas from Esav. Esav threatened to kill him. Yaakov leaves without a wife. Yaakov leaves penniless because Eliphaz ben Esav took away all of Yaakov's wealth. He's leaving the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. He's going to Chutz La'aretz. He's leaving his father, going to Laban, And if Esav will destroy his body, Yaakov is very afraid that Laban will destroy his values and his ruchnius. And that's why Yaakov spent 14 years in the yeshiva of Shem the Aver. And remember, Yaakov didn't have the vision of the ladder till after he davened Maariv. Vayifka b'makom v'yol en sham. The sun set. There was no ladder. There was no hiskalos. Rav Tzadok says, if shachris is the prayer of Hakaras HaTov for the goodness in your life, and mincha is the prayer asking Hashem, please don't take away your brachas, Maariv is the prayer of the person who hits bottom, who seems to have no hope, no wife, no child, no money, no way out. Maariv is the prayer of emunah, is the prayer of faith. Because what does a person have when there's nothing left in the world? They have emunah. And Rav Tzadok says, you know why Maariv is an optional prayer? Not because it's less important than shachris and mincha, but because it is such a high madrega that not everybody could reach that madrega. Shachris, the pasuk says, even a donkey, yada shor kamor, even a donkey appreciates the hand that feeds it. Mincha, you pray to Hashem, let me hold on to what I have. But what strength it takes to summon up the reservoirs of emunah in the darkest moments of life. And like Eov proclaimed, Hein yiktaleini lo ayachel, even if God slay me, I will put my trust, I will put my emunah in Him. And that's why David HaMelech says, Lahagid babaykeh chastecha, in the morning of my life, I feel the chesed of Hashem. The emunascha balelos, but in the darkest moments, I still have my emunah. And that is why in the Birchas Kriya Shema, the morning after Shema is emes v'yatziv, God's truth is firm and apparent. And at night, it's emes v'emunah, it's a getter of emunah. This is the gift of the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks which allows us to feel what galus is. And that's a hard avoda. Ultimately gives us a tremendously precious gift. It's a gift that ironically you don't even get in Geula. It's the gift of emunah. The gift of learning to feel Hashem's presence, even in concealment, even in sorrows, even in adversity, even in suffering. To know that no matter what happens, we have that connection with Hashem. And when we show that we feel connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when He is concealed, that is when the Geula will come, in which He will reveal Himself once more. So as the Pasuk says, Kol Rodfeh Hisigua Bein HaMitzarim, Kol Reitfei Hashem, those who truly want Hashem, this is the time of year in which we are able to achieve that madrega. I hope all of us should be Zocha, Ish Lefi Madregaso, to try to achieve that union with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in that way we should be zocheh to the Geula Shleimah.